current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology,
wars and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's Word as signs of the times.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome in to Signs of the Times, our weekly look at Bible prophecy in the world's news for Friday, March 20th, 2020. So how about that? 2020.
Love it.
3-20-2020.
That's right.
Okay. We won't have a 2020-2020.
So. Yeah, no real meaning, but it's kind of fun.
But it's kind of fun. Yeah. It's kind of interesting because we have really nothing else to do because everyone's sheltered in place. So anyway, I'm your host, Greg Hilt, along with Pastor Mark Kirk, our senior pastor here at Calvary Knoxville. Thanks for joining us. Whether you're listening live today, Friday, March 20th, or you're listening to the podcast on Apple, Google, iHeartRadio, or Spotify, we appreciate you taking the time out of your maybe slower schedule now that most people are... have been quarantined in some form or fashion or trying to keep their social distance. So obviously the main theme of today is the continuing coverage of the coronavirus, but really the biblical aspect of all of this, the prophetic aspect of all of this. You might be listening, maybe not familiar with the Bible, maybe not familiar with Bible prophecy, but maybe you're a Christian, haven't really studied it, and don't really realize that God's Word has talked about this very thing happening in what the Bible refers to as the latter days.
Yeah, he has, and we're going to get into all that. Real quick, Greg, if I can do kind of just a public service announcement or a thank you, really.
Okay.
Before we get into it, I just want to thank again Senator Becky Massey. I just feel like I want to give a shout-out to her and for our listeners. She, again, allowed me the opportunity to go and pray with the Tennessee State Senate here last week or this week earlier.
Absolutely,
And to be able to pray with them and over them, and it was truly a privilege and an honor. And, again, I just want to thank her publicly for that, but I also want to just say, you know, again, to remember her, you know, we have those who know the Lord and love the Lord fighting for us and making a stand. She's a light, and so she's letting her light shine, and it's truly a blessing. So remember to be praying for wisdom and blessing on Senator Massey. And again, just wanted to basically say that because it's good to see God putting his people in different places. And there's always that light shining and among our leaders where it's needed because we need wisdom for these days. And so I wanted to mention that before we get into this.
Absolutely.
But now as we get into this and we talk about, again, the virus a little bit, I want our listeners to know we're not going to talk about it the whole show. We're going to be talking the second half and getting some articles and different things.
Although those articles kind of...
They dovetail into
wrap around all of what's going on.
Well, it really does. There's nobody to totally get away from it, but I don't want it to be just like, just totally focus on. I want to try to branch out a little bit.
Yeah.
And yet we have to talk about it.
Yeah.
And that's what's on everyone's mind. That's everyone's concern. It's where we are. And so, you know, what I want to do is give it a proper balance and give it a proper understanding and kind of give some just corrections and updates. You know, one of the things that they're saying now with the CDC, that's coming out, you know, is that with the, we talked about the flu and the percentage of those that get coronavirus that are mortality. This is to be taken seriously. Don't take this lightly. I never want anyone to take it lightly. We're just not to live in fear. We're not to panic. And I made a comment about it, how it was generally in line with where the flu is. Statistically, what they're saying, what they're guessing, that's not exactly accurate. So I want to correct that. What they're saying is that they believe that about 0.1% is how many people get the flu or the mortality rate of the flu every year in America, 0.1%. They're guesstimating when the coronavirus came that about 1 to 2%, which is quite a bit more, of people that get it would actually have a mortality rate and you know, older and weaker people that are, you know, again, they're saying that those in, I think in Italy now, they released today some 99% of those who have died in Italy had secondary conditions.
So they already had a weakened immune system.
Yes, and so it's there's something else going on for those that are dying typically.
Yeah.
But that is I'm not lessening it. We sort of don't want anyone to die, and that gives all the more reason we need to be responsible to protect those who have weaker immune systems and or those that are older. But here's why I wanted to give it a balance, because we've been saying 1-2% on corona, and I've been saying it's basically the same as the flu. Here's the bottom line. As far as what they're guesstimating, that's true. And what I mean by that is this. The CDC is still saying that by the time we swab everyone, if we could swab everyone in America, their guesstimation, by they have these calculations they use for viruses and different things, sicknesses. They're still saying, as of yesterday, they were still saying that if we could swab everyone, their best guesstimate is that about 0.1% of Americans will die from coronavirus as compared to 0.1% that die from the flu. So in that sense, their guesstimate is it's about the same. Now, with that said, what we're seeing in other countries, and the current guesstimate here is not the same. It's more. It's about three times more contagious. And as you heard, maybe 10 times more lethal for those that are elderly and have these conditions. So this is more serious than the flu if you get it for those that have conditions. And they're saying that about 1-2% of Americans could get it if they don't see what the full numbers are. That was the guesstimate in advance. They're hoping it comes out to 0.1, which is where a flu is. But it may come out to 1-2, which is much larger than a flu. And what makes that concerning is that, again, when you have large, large numbers of people getting it and how quickly this is spreading, let's say 100 million people in America get the coronavirus. If it was to be 1-2%, you're talking 1-2 million people could lose their life. Now, that's a big deal. Whereas on 100 million with the flu, only 0.1 would lose their life.
Right.
So it is a more serious flu. I just want to make sure I make that correction, because, again, it looks like that what I said was accurate in the sense of what the CDC is guesstimating the real numbers will be.
Right.
But at this point, what they're saying it is, it wasn't right. It's higher. And again, it's a thing. It's a serious condition we need to be very aware of.
Well, and because of that correction that you're making, just for our regular listeners, that's why we pulled episode 116.
Yes.
Last Friday's episode, Pastor Mark wanted it pulled because he got newer statistics that did not back up what he said last Friday. So anyway, he made the correction on the air this week.
That's
why last week's show has been pulled. You're not really missing anything, not having it there. So
the bottom line is we want to make sure that we give out the most accurate information that we can.
Absolutely.
And that is, number one, we don't want to create fear and panic. My heart is to reduce the fear and panic because I don't think there's a reason to fear and panic, not as a believer.
No.
And even as unbelievers, we shouldn't be living in fear and panic. But I also want to give it a proper perspective so we take it seriously. And that is, you guard your grandmas and grandpas, you guard people that have pre-existing conditions. And don't think that it is only the older. Again, if you have a pre-existing condition or something going on with you, you need to guard yourself. We just had a 34-year-old man who got it at Disney World and Universal. He'd been to both, and they narrowed it down to Disney World or Universal. He died this week, 34 years old. Down in Florida is where he got it.
Wow.
So again, it does affect the young as well if you're not healthy. Now, here are the current statistics. This is coronavirus COVID-19 global cases. To give you an update, there are currently totally confirmed 255,305 cases, according to the official site here.
And what is that site, just in case people want to go to it later?
Yeah, this is, again, let me look what it's... I don't know if I give just the
just the very front part where it's www.whatever.com
it says,
or .org.
It says gizanddate.maps.argus.com. I don't think it's going to help anybody.
Okay, that's not going to help anybody.
So I don't know. That's what pops up for me on mine, so I can't give you that. But
I'll
try
to put a link in the podcast.
Let me read the whole top headline. It says, Coronavirus COVID-19 Global Cases by the Center for Systems, Science, and Engineering.
Oh, there
so
you go.
So the CSSE.
Okay.
If you Google coronavirus COVID-19 CSSE, you should get this website.
Perfect.
Now I got it figured out. So anyway, and it gives each number for each nation. 81,000 cases in China, 41,000 in Italy. America, again, has 14,000 now, et cetera. It goes down the whole thing. And total deaths are 10,444 confirmed deaths worldwide. With a total recovered that are now completely over it of 87,351. So why do I bring all this up? Number one, I wanted to correct those statistics. Number two, I wanted to emphasize to take that precaution and be careful with what's going on and give you accurate numbers. But number three, I also wanted to still keep a proper balance on this, even though this is a worse virus in many ways and we need to be very serious about it. We still have to realize that the numbers that are coming in are still way below other just epidemics and national things. Again, I'm not going to say, let's see what happens. Hopefully it won't get worse. But Greg, look, the H1N1,
right,
just in America a few years ago, in America alone, it killed 12,000 people. We now have 10,000 worldwide from this. So statistically, on the deaths overall, I'm not talking percentages,
right,
it's way below others. You look at China where it started. There's only a little over 3,000 deaths there. And, you know, we've had, again, 37,000 or so from the flu in America this year.
Right.
So I don't want to make everybody think, don't worry, go out, run around, touch everybody's stuff, you know, let your kids lick the window. You know, what I'm saying is, let's all take a deep breath.
With a mask on.
In a home environment.
In a home environment.
And just kind of say, you know what, let's be wise. Let's protect the vulnerable of us around us. Let's guard those that are older. But let's don't freak out. Let's keep a proper balance and a proper perspective. Let's be praying for each other. And also, I want to encourage you to be looking for opportunities to reach out to your neighbors. And Greg, I'm going to take this moment, you know, just to, again, to say that, you know, again, for people that, if you know people around you that maybe are older and they can't get out or they don't know what to do, you know, if you're younger and you're strong, you may want to offer to run to the grocery store for them. Hey, can I go pick some things up for you? Can I bring some things back? And, you know, we're going to be talking to our body about that on Sunday, you know, letting the body know, hey, if you need us to go get you stuff, we'll do that. We want to be serving our community, serving and honoring those that are older and need that help. And that's what we're called to do. So, yeah. Again, I wanted to make those comments and those corrections and also those encouragements.
Do you think, Pastor Mark, that part of the concern from the medical community about this particular virus as compared to, you know, the other ones that we've had before is because you can be a carrier without even knowing it, and there seems to be a longer incubation period, said, before you yourself even feel the symptoms, even though
Absolutely.
You've had the virus for a week or so?
And look, yes, and that's the problem we've seen here with the spring break stuff. You know, I was young and foolish as well. And you see these, I'm not making excuses for them, but I remember what it was like without Christ. I remember being young and foolish.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't think about mortality. You don't think about really anybody but yourself for the most part, quite honestly. And that's what we're seeing with these you know, foolish spring breakers going to the beach and getting in large groups like this and partying. It's very foolish. It's very immature. But again, this is part of being young and foolish. Now, I'm not giving excuse for that. I'm saying they need to stop doing it, and whatever you know, measures the government needs to take to stop that, they need to. But the danger in that, Greg, is as they all spread it, and maybe they'll all be fine, they go home to see grandma and grandpa,
exactly.
or mom and dad.
Yes, yes.
Who may be
and mom
weak
and dad go to see grandma and grandpa.
Yeah, yeah,
yes.
and they're you know, putting their own families in danger through this thing. So yeah, it's a very serious thing that needs to be taken very seriously, and all of us need to be very careful. I would only go to the places you need to go to essentially to get what you need to get. And then let, you know, trust in and be praying to the Lord to clear this out, which brings me to something else, you know, Greg, when it comes to what do we do, you know, and we're going to just talk as the subjects come up here because I have several things on my heart.
Yeah,
and I don't
want
to get sidetracked for what you have there.
No, but, you're good.
You know, I've been looking at this and going, all right, what do we do as believers? Obviously, as a church, what we've done is we're having online services. And now the governor came out today, I saw, and pretty much said, hey, don't have church. He pretty much told everybody in Tennessee, he said, if you have church, you're basically, you know, killing your elderly people that are coming or putting them in danger of death.
Right.
And so he's being very firm about it. And we want to honor our governing authorities. And they're not telling us that we can't gather together as a church. They're saying postpone it. I know a lot of people are saying, I'm worried because the church is being told not to meet. Well, this is a little bit different. If they were saying you can never meet again, I've got a big problem.
Right.
And we all have a big problem. Yeah. And we have to answer to a higher authority, which is the Lord.
Yeah.
But if they're saying, hey, let's hold off for a few weeks and let this thing pass by, then, you know, I think we need to do everything we can. And so I encourage you to find those avenues of churches that have online. We have online streaming here at Calvary Chapel Knoxville, several different avenues. We have Facebook Live. We have YouTube. We also have our regular streaming we have in church. We have the radio. You know, we have different avenues and, you know, any online through radio, a lot of ways you can get it for us. And we're going to be in on the air Sundays and Wednesdays and doing the live show here on Fridays. So you'll be able to get, you know, information. And again, we're going to do our best to check the most accurate statistics and information and make sure that we're right on, you know, watching everything so you have proper information. But you can stay connected. And I think that you need to be doing that. You need to be connected. You need to stay connected. You need to make sure that you're not falling away from where you need to be in the Lord and keeping up with this. But we need to honor our governing authorities, and we need to kind of do our best to work together. And that is, again, you know, looking for those in the community we can minister to. There's a lot of opportunities that we have here, Greg.
Yeah.
And as I was thinking of these other nations, and I think of the opportunities we have, I want to share some of those opportunities and a lot of what I was about to talk about.
Okay.
This is a great opportunity for the church. You know, rather than cowering in fear, we need to be bold and out front in sharing the gospel, number one. People are afraid. People want answers. People need answers. And right now we need to be sharing that Jesus is our hope and Jesus can be their hope. And if they're afraid of death, the Lord can take that fear of death away and give them that promise of life in Jesus Christ. Remember, the worst thing that can happen to us as a believer is that these bodies die. But the bottom line is that's the best day of our life because we enter the kingdom. Jesus said, don't fear those that can harm the body. He said, fear the one that holds the soul. You know, he's the one we're to fear. And you say, well, there's not people harming my body. It's a virus. So don't fear anything that can harm your body. Be wise. Guard yourself. Guard others. But realize that worst case scenario, you win if you know Jesus Christ. So that's a huge benefit. You know, and again, another benefit we have that others don't have, and this is interesting. You know, look, guys, we have hope that other nations don't have. So I'm not saying we're the only nation that has it. It's interesting to me that it started in China. China has, Greg, you said 1.5 billion people.
Almost,
is that right?
Well, a little over 1.4.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. Huge number of people. And only 3,000 or so, a little over 3,000 deaths. But here's the thing. You say, well, I wonder why. Look, the church, no doubt, there's some 300 million estimated church believers in China. And you know they were crying out to God. God, heal our land. I know that there are believers in America crying out now, but you know they were crying out to God. And we've talked about this, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will seek my face, humble themselves and pray, seek my face, return from their wicked ways, you know, confess their sin, I will hear from heaven, forgive them of their sins, and heal their land. And so I believe that no doubt the church was crying out. And you talk about a church that's purified. The church in China would be purified because of the level of persecution they have. As they cried out, I believe that God is the one that hastened the healing of this virus and protected even the nation because of the crying out of the believers. You look at what's happening now in Italy and Iran. You know, Iran, they say that there's, somebody, according to a report I read today, you can't get official statistics out of Iran. So I'm not saying this is accurate. I'm going to tell you what I read today in my major trustworthy news outlets that I go to.
Yes.
They say someone dies every 10 minutes in Iran, you know, from the coronavirus. And that's like a large number.
Wow, that's a huge number.
Yeah. And so I don't know, again, you know, the bottom line is who knows what the numbers are, but they say they're having large numbers, but they're only, Greg, claiming over 1,000 people in Iran that are dead so far. So I don't know if they're not giving the full statistics or maybe it's upped here recently or whatever the case might be.
Or they're taking people out, dissidents or whatever, and they're blaming it on the coronavirus.
Yeah, let me check that number. Maybe it's someone catching the virus every 10 minutes. Let me check that number. Don't quote me on that out there until I check that. I'm going to double check. I don't have it up in front of me, but I want, either way, here's the bottom line. And this is the point I was making, and I'll get that accurate number for you in a moment. But the point I was making is this. Iran has no God to cry out to that can help them. Now, there are believers there, and they're no doubt crying out. But as a nation, the majority of them, being an Islamic nation, they're crying out to a God that can't help them because their God is not real. So they don't have that help. Now, go to Italy. Italy, for the most part, worships Mary. And they're crying out to Mary. As a matter of fact, the reports of the Pope praying to Mary and Mary statues and all this asking for help and all this stuff, there's not going to be any help from Mary. Mary can't hear. And Mary can't help. The Bible says there's one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus. It is Jesus that Italy needs to be crying out to. And now they've surpassed deaths. They're leading the world in deaths right now. As far as, you know, the deaths that have taken place, Italy's leading the way with 3,405. China had, again, 3,133. Iran, this says over 1,000. That's right. 1,433 reported there in Iran. And Spain, 1,002, et cetera. It goes on down. We have in America now, we have, according to these statistics, 74 total deaths. So the bottom line is that they're crying out to a God that can't help them. Mary can't help them. They need the Lord. Now, I'm not picking on them. I'm making a point. Here's our hope, church. Here's our hope, America. And that is, there is a larger percentage, at least of Americans, at least that claim to know Jesus Christ. I know that not all do that say they do. But with the percentage of believers we have in our nation, if we will humble ourselves and pray and seek his face, God will heal our land. He's promised. And so I believe with all my heart that if the church repents, and I don't mean just confesses, Lord, forgive us. I mean, turn from our sin, turns from pornography, turns from adultery, turns from lying, turns from just everything we're doing wrong in our lives as a church. And that's in the church. God says he'll hear from heaven and he'll heal our land, which means we have a very unique responsibility and opportunity as the church to really slow this virus down, Greg, and even, I think, even stop it. Now, it's the power of God, but it's incumbent on us to recognize our responsibility based on God's word and say, hey, church, let's rise up, let's ask forgiveness, let's repent, and let's ask God to heal our land, and let's stop this virus in its tracks. I believe that's within our grasp. I believe God's granted that to us by what he says there in 2 Chronicles 7:14.
It's very interesting because he's speaking to the church, but the blessing of the church's repentance in 2 Chronicles 7:14 is for everyone. It's not just for the church.
Huh.
It's for the entire nation.
Yes, it is.
And so that's a very interesting, when you talk about the church's unique opportunity,
yes.
It's not only an opportunity for the church, but it's an opportunity for the church to be a blessing to the unbelieving world around them.
Yeah.
Or in this case, you know, would be, you know, our country,
yeah,
as an example.
Yeah.
And kind of what you were talking about before, encouraging people to be a blessing to those around you during this time. If you've got people that are shut in, they can't get out, and
yeah,
to be able to deliver groceries to them or things like that. That is an opportunity to tangibly show the love of Jesus to someone, because the Bible even talks about, hey, it profits you nothing to say, hey, brother, be blessed, and he's hungry or he needs clothing and you don't do anything about it, but you just proclaim a blessing on him. Well,
yeah,
that's not the complete picture of Christianity the way the Bible describes it.
That's right. And you know, Greg, I was thinking about that today. It talks about during the time of the Great Tribulation, which we're not in yet. And, you know, we'll get in a moment to where I think we are. But in the time of the Great Tribulation, you know, it says there's going to be major plagues and major, you know, illness, these kind of things. And it says, and yet you took me in, you visited me. I mean, there's a real challenge here for the believer to go, you know what? We're not just to hide back behind. No, look, we don't go out and spread anything and we guard against all that. But if we know somebody in need and we're strong, and we're not, you know, in the danger zone, and we know that somebody around us needs help, we need to step out and be brave and go help them. Now, if you're in a vulnerable situation, that's a little bit different. But otherwise, yeah, than that, I think we should.
You put now, a mask on. Yeah.
And a couple things real quick I want to point out, because we're almost out of time here. I can't believe how fast the first half
went. Wow. Okay.
It's flying by. Of course, my clock may not be right.
You still have plenty of time.
Yeah,
you're fine.
All right, I think my clock is wrong. So, all right,
doubt it is.
We're just about done with the first half, and I haven't really gotten into this. But I want to say this, you know, as far as where we are, you know, I believe, and we're not going to go back and just cover everything that we talk about in, you know, Matthew 24. I don't want to, you know, say it over and over and over. We talk about it every week, but I do want to focus on one line in Matthew 24 and talk about that. And that is where the Lord said, after when you see these things begin to happen, he talks about them. He says, this is the beginning of sorrows. So what does he mean? First of all, I want to say this. I believe we have just entered into the beginning of sorrows officially. I personally believe it started with this pandemic. Now, I may be wrong on that. I'm not a prophet. But I believe the official beginning of sorrows has begun. And the reason I believe that, have we had pandemics in the past? Yes. This is the first pandemic we've had where all these other signs are happening at the same time. You've got the earthquakes. You've got right now, which we'll get into in the second half, at least talk about briefly, these 10 countries now being overwhelmed by locusts that are going to cause huge famines in the Middle East and in Africa. It's going to be huge. And so you're seeing at one time famine, plague, earthquake in major world scale happening at one time. The Lord said, when you see this, it's the beginning of sorrows. And what that means is the beginning of more death, the beginning of more sickness, the beginning of more hunger, the beginning of more just tribulation in this earth until the Lord comes back and restores it. And you're going to see the contractions. And I think maybe even moving, I call it Braxton Hicks last time. I'm almost starting to shift from that and say, I think we've almost left Braxton Hicks. We might have moved into contractions at this point. We're just not going to go into hard labor. See, hard labor will be the last 3.5 years. The Great Tribulation will be hard labor. That's the transition, if you will, whereas I believe we may have already started contractions, Greg.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's say if we just, you're talking about changing the wording of what you're calling this. If the Bible is saying that the last 3.5 years of that peace treaty with the Antichrist ruling the world, this
right,
is post-rapture,
right,
is called the Great Tribulation, What does that not make the assumption for us that there is tribulation before that? Because
yeah,
that's the
absolutely.
Great tribulation.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So could we not say that the time we're living in right now is a time of tribulation prophetically in that sense?
I would say no doubt. I think that's a good point, Greg. I do think it's definitely tribulation. That's what tribulation is. It's pressure. It's intensity.
Yeah.
It's all this. So yes, we're in it, but I believe we're going to see it, you know, increase now as we head in. But remember, we know about it as believers and we know what the result's going to be. So we have hope. We don't need to fear. We don't need to panic. We don't need to worry. God will protect us. And something I wanted to read to remind, we sent this out again. If you don't get any of the updates on our Facebook or that kind of stuff, I encourage you to look at those. But I did mention this in one of the posts here recently. Maybe it was Wednesdays, I guess. But it's interesting to note that when the plagues came in Egypt, in the times of Egypt, God still protected the believers. He watched over them. Now, this doesn't mean that we won't face tribulation, or that a believer won't even get sick and die. That's not what I'm saying. But the believers as a whole have the promise of God to watch over them and protect them. And Greg, this one plague here, the ninth plague, where darkness came on the land. Listen to what it says about this plague. This is in Exodus chapter 10, verse 21. It says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt." And Egypt is the top of the world. And notice this, a darkness which may even be felt. You know, in 9/11, you could feel something. Now, I believe we can feel something's happening, that you can feel this, what's happening in the world, this darkness. "They did not see one another. Rather, so Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. And they didn't see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days." Notice this. So everybody went to their homes. They were all confined to their homes during this time of darkness. Sound familiar? But listen to what this last sentence says in verse 23. "But all the children of Israel," that is the believers, "had light in their dwellings." To me, that's powerful, Greg. It's the world has darkness, and they're surrounded right now by panic and fear and darkness. And although we're all going to our homes, probably in the unbeliever's home, there's a lot of darkness discussion, a lot of dire, we're all going to die, all the whatever, etc. But in the home of the believer, light. To family coming together, praying together, reminding ourselves of God's faithfulness, having online services together, basically home church, if you will, of whatever your home church is and this kind of thing. And there's a real hope that's there. The world doesn't have that. We have that hope. And so my heart is, and my hope for you is that you spread that hope to your neighbors. You spread that hope to those around you. Don't be afraid if you're strong and healthy. Don't put yourself in danger. But don't be afraid to reach out and help those that are in need, that may be hurting, and something you can do to minister to them, because this is a time for the church to shine. This is a time for the church to show that they love. You know, it's interesting, Greg, Franklin Graham, they canceled in the UK his outreaches here just recently. Didn't let him do his conferences because he came out and said homosexuality was a sin. And he came out and said, "Yes, I do say that, but so am I a sinner, and I've got all these other sins, but we're coming in love. We're not coming to condemn." Anyway, the bottom line is, who's the first one to respond when all this is going on? It's Franklin Graham and Samaritan's Purse. They just sent a huge movable hospital over there to Italy, and they're going to be there ministering to the people of Italy, ministering to the people of Europe. And while Europe tries to kick them out because they're bringing the gospel, here's what people who know the gospel do. They still take Jesus in, and they show them they're loved. And again, what do we do for those who position themselves against us as our enemies? We love them, and we show them the love of Jesus, and we treat them with graciousness and kindness, and even, again, putting ourselves in danger for their sake. There's no greater message we could give them and no greater message of hope. So what they're doing, praise the Lord for that. Pray for them and that God continues to use them, and I know he will. But let's be used here in Knoxville. Be looking for opportunities where we can meet the needs of our community right now. And I'm praying for God to show me, God, what are ways we can meet the needs of our community? And again, I don't think it's reached that place yet where the needs are like, you know, just overwhelming as far as this virus. But I think that if we get to that point, we need to be ready.
Wow. You know, it's interesting. You talked about Franklin Graham being, you know, attacked like that, but still he reaches out in love. I think about the Lord, how the Lord was attacked. And what was one of the last things he did on the cross? He asked the Father to forgive those that were mocking and blaspheming
him because they
didn't know what they were doing. Wow. What kind of other-centeredness that we need to display during this time as well. Okay, well, don't go anywhere, folks. We've got lots of articles to discuss that are kind of ramifications from COVID-19 and kind of like this beginning tribulation period or the beginning of sorrows, as Pastor Mark talked about from Matthew 24. We'll get into all of that as Signs of the Times continues right here on WIAM. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
WIAM-LP.
101.1 FM, Knoxville.
Have you ever been pressured to get involved in a money-making opportunity that just didn't feel right? Maybe even recruited by a friend at church? Hi, I'm Chuck Bentley with My Money Life from Crown. Today, Crown's founder, the late Larry Burkett, reminds us that with some opportunities, it's best to take a step back and ask some important questions.
Well, you have to decide, wait, what's God's plan for me? I don't care how prosperous it is, how good it looks, all the rest. What is God's plan for me? Not somebody else. There's two proverbs I like about counsel. Proverbs 15:22 says, basically, it is a wise man that seeks many counselors, for with too few counselors, plans will go astray. That's low range of God's will. High range of God's will is another proverb, I believe, Proverbs 14:15. It is a naive man that believes all the counsel that he hears, for the wise man will consider that counsel in the Lord. If you paraphrase those two proverbs, I can tell you what they say about counsel. It is a wise man that seeks counsel and a fool that listens to most of it. That's literally what it says. We Christians are guilty of imparting financial wisdom to somebody with a little spiritual wisdom, aren't we? And when we begin to listen to them, steer us right out of God's plan for our lives. Accept God's direction for your family. Be content there. Nobody knows what God's plan for my life is except my wife and I. I don't know what God's plan for your life is. Only way you know is ask. Sometimes the only way you can know is try it. See if you got a peace about it. If you don't, try something else. God will confirm it if you're really sincere.
Did you know that Crown's most popular courses are now available online? We have courses to help you create a budget, get out of debt, and programs that will help you understand and apply God's financial principles to your life. Sign up today. Learn more at crown.org. That's crown.org.
A Moment of Grace with Ed Taylor.
If you feel far from God today, God's saying to you, I'm right here. I haven't moved. You're the one that started to slip. You stepped away, so come back to me. Remember from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works. Unless you think this will never happen to you, it can. It just takes a little bit of time. You learn the motions, you learn the habits, you learn the routines, and everything that you once had in a love relationship with God is replaced with routine and ritual, matched with compromise and a lack of love, and things can get really messy really fast. And that's simply not God's heart for you. It's not God's heart for me. And if you'll just turn back to Him today, He'll receive you.
You can learn more at edtaylor.org. Grow deeper in your love relationship with Jesus by visiting edtaylor.org. This has been A Moment of Grace with Ed Taylor.
Signs of the Times now continues. Here again is your host.
Welcome back to the second part of Signs of the Times, episode 117, on March 20th, 2020. Along with Pastor Mark Kirk, I'm Greg Hilt. Thanks for hanging out with us as we dive into some news articles from around the world that really the kind of the whole thing is centered around COVID-19. But this is a global thing, and it's a good thing to pay attention to in terms of prophecy. Because the prophetic things of God's word are not conditional to a geographic location. The things that are going to be happening in the world in the latter days, some of which we're experiencing right now, are global in nature. Whether it's the things that are talked about in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and the perilous times will come, and men will be lovers of themselves, and the list goes on, that's a global thing. Matthew 24, a global thing. Zechariah, was it 14 or 12, when Israel will become a stumbling stone to all nations?
12, yep.
That's a global thing. And so the list goes on, and especially in Revelation. So,
and before you do your intro to this, the articles, real quick, I did find the article about Iran.
Okay,
it's from Fox News.
Okay.
According to the health ministry, Fox News is reporting a person dies of coronavirus in Iran every 10 minutes.
Wow, that's astounding.
It is. And again, so who knows if that, now that's health ministry says, that's Iran's health ministry, but I don't know why they would lie about that. The point is, I don't know what that comes out to over time.
I'm going to tell you.
But be praying for Iran that God would use this to drive them to the true God, the living God, a God that can help. You know, if you cry out to a God that can't help, it doesn't do you any good. You need to cry out to a God that can help.
if you've got a death every 10 minutes, that's 6 deaths an hour.
Right? So 24 hours.
So that's 144.
Yeah.
Wow.
144, it's a lot.
That's a sobering statistic.
It is a sobering statistic.
Yes. All right, well, as we visit America, on the boats and on the plane, another sobering statistic. This is Israel National News. The U.S. government set to lose billions, that's with a B, billions in tax revenue.
Yeah.
As Las Vegas and New York are closed up.
And
so,
Greg, this will tie into the signs of the times economically.
Economically as well, yeah.
So again, they're going to use billions, as you said, Greg, over these tax revenues, tourist revenues, rather, and venues, rather. The U.S. government is expected to lose billions over the closure of popular entertainment and tourist venues as the nation prepares to limit the risk of coronavirus spreading. President Trump called for the closure of all non-essential outlets, including bars, restaurants, hotels, casinos, and any commercial places of gathering, with sports events already postponed a week prior. The duration is a 2-week lockdown designed to keep people indoors and stop the risk of the outbreak, which has already claimed thousands of lives. New York City has reported that it will lose around $3.2 billion in tax revenue. So it's just, again, money they would have gotten, but they're not. It's not being pulled out of their coffers.
Right,
it's just not going in.
It's not going in.
During
this
time. Meanwhile, Las Vegas has closed all hotels and casinos on the Strip, including the Bellagio, MGM, Wynn Resorts, where lost revenues are not confirmed, but likely to be significant. This is likely to have a further impact on neighboring shops, restaurants, and also conventions, including the Recon Convention in Vegas, which attracts thousands each year. A guest at the convention at MGM's Mirage was tested positive for coronavirus last week, and the company confirmed that several of its employees had come down with the virus days later. The news will come as a blow to holidaymakers, travel companies, employers, investors. Yeah, obviously. Staff members still be expected to get non-statutory pay, which will be a further blow to their managers and their owners. And again, while this lockdown is going on for 2 weeks, it's expected to reduce the risk of the coronavirus spreading. That is not confirmed, which is interesting. They're not saying that for sure it will stop it. Some experts state that the household businesses may need several months to be truly safe, or households and businesses, rather. Some experts claim the virus cannot withstand high temperatures, but in Vegas, which is known for its balmy weather, they've still seen numbers of cases. However, this is not helped by the dense population and the regular flow of tourists. So, again, because it can't live in a balmy place, you would have so many people coming into Vegas to gamble. They walk in with the virus. I mean, you can't stop that. So that doesn't surprise me there. I wouldn't say that doesn't mean it wouldn't go under with warm weather. However, here's the point of all this. We talked about the physical part of the virus. This is the economical part, Greg.
Yeah.
And, you know, you go, well, people are more important than the economy, quite obviously. We know that. But if the economies collapse, again, it puts the world in a situation where a lot of changes have to be made, especially if economies collapse worldwide. Now, I believe we are undergoing a major restructuring of the mindset of the world right now, and possibly a major restructuring of the way we do business.
Well, in a weakening of the world's economy. So if your world's economy gets hit with several of these type of pandemics, how can you survive on your own unless you band together?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so, you know, the Bible talks about a one world economy in the last days, and that the Antichrist will be ruling over this one world economy in the last days. And now you're seeing the world being restructured and being prepared for this one world economy in the last days. This is part of that. Again, I want to remind our listeners, we're looking at a huge spiritual event going on here.
Yeah.
A lot of us are only thinking about viral germs, et cetera, and rightly so. That's real. We live in the real world. However, this is something that is infecting the entire world because of this virus that is causing the world to restructure. And Greg, we know in Scripture that God allows sometimes the enemy limited power in nature, limited power. We see that in Revelation. We see where God himself allowed a plague on Israel when they needed to be chastised. I'm not saying that this is something happening to America for this reason. I do think that the world right now is in rebellion to God overall. And so for God to allow something to come in to get our attention, I'm not saying God caused it. I'm not saying God did it. I'm saying if God allows the enemy to move and to do these things, we saw the plague that God allowed to happen in Jerusalem. Jerusalem, where the angel was bringing a plague there. And David saw the angel bringing the plague, and there were 75,000 people that died from the plague. And you know what stopped the plague? This is interesting. What stopped the plague was David going to the threshing floor, the place of worship where the temple was going to be for God. He designated the place of the worship of God for the nation, and when he did that, the plague stopped. Again, this is where we come back to, if my people were called by my name, and really if our leaders would call out to God, we could stop this plague. So there's a lot of things going on there that you look at. But again, this is something that I think is going to restructure the world. It's a spiritual event. We're going to see more large-scale, worldwide spiritual events as we head into these time of sorrows. And they're going to restructure the world. And this is going to be a restructuring of the economy. I'm telling you, something's going to change economically out of this. The whole world's going to come together. Greg, they're already talking about the fact that in cash, the virus can be spread.
On paper.
Yeah. Let's get rid of cash.
Yeah. You know, I think
the mark of the beast.
For you and I, this pandemic is one of those aha moments.
Yeah.
Because we've looked at prophecy for a long time,
yeah,
and you longer than me. And when we've thought about the one world government, the one world religion, the one world economy, we trust that God's word is true and it's going to happen. But for a lot of that stuff, we've always wondered, okay, no, exactly how is that going to happen?
Yeah.
How is the one world economy, for example, going to come together? Because we figured nobody's going to come together when things are good.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
It's got to become when things are bad.
It's got to be forced. It's got to be forced.
And we never thought, I always thought, you know, we would come to the aid of like another country would come to the aid of another country to help, and then they would unite. But I never thought of something like this,
yeah,
globally, like through a virus, through a disease that would bring the entire world to its financial knees.
Yeah. Yeah.
As a way to weaken it so eventually it would come together financially or economically.
Yeah, and whether or not the world totally collapses or not, we'll have to wait and see. But here's what it's done,
maybe,
Greg.
Not on this one.
Yeah, but it's, yes, but this is like the first salvo.
This is the
weakening. This is the first flyover of all the spiritual jets,
yes,
weakening the ground forces so that you can now bring the full army in later. So, yeah, I think this is the beginning of seeing the world unite. And remember, Daniel talks about the 10 toes, part of iron, part of clay. These either nations and or regions of the world will see as it unfolds that come together. And, you know, the iron and clay means they don't necessarily want to do it, but they're going to have to. So when you see something that's forcing the world together, I believe you're going to see the enemy forcing the world together, making this economy come together. And this is going to be interesting, Greg, because something else I want to mention. When the Great Tribulation hits, the world will be in some level of prosperity. Now, will it be a nation like America leading it and everyone benefiting from it, or will it be out of Europe with the Antichrist leading it there? But in Revelation 18, it talks about the world mourning. It says, in 1 hour, the great Babylon will be destroyed. That symbolic, you know, Babylon against God, you know, which is symbolic in Scripture. And it says that the world will mourn because the source of their wealth has been taken away, the source of their riches. And it goes down this list of all the gold, the this, the that, and talks about all the wonderful things, the citron wood, the special, everything that this system or city or whatever it is, it calls it the city of Babylon. But again, we don't know for sure yet. Whatever it is, Greg, the world is being made wealthy by it.
Mm-hmm.
So my point is this. Do I believe the whole world's going to collapse and nobody's going to have any money and we're all going to be living in dirt huts after that? No, that's not what the scripture indicates. I believe something will happen that could bring everything down and force the world together, and we may have a lower standard of living than Americans are used to. I don't know what's going to happen. And not even necessarily from this, but long term.
Yeah.
This is kind of the beginning of it.
Right.
But there's going to be some strong economical center that may be led by the Antichrist that's going to be, and maybe he comes in, hey, guess what? I'm your hero. I've got the answers. Let's all unite. We'll solve the problems of viruses. We'll solve the problems of the economy. We'll solve all these problems. And you guys just follow me. Everyone will bow down to him. He will rule wonderfully in the world's eyes for 3.5 years. Then he will declare himself God at the 3.5 year point. Then that's when all this stuff starts getting wiped out. I mean, the great Babylon, all the plagues, I mean, all the seals, the trumpets, all that stuff begins to happen. So this is not the end of the world. We have a ways to go. I don't know how long, but I will say this. It could mean the rapture could happen at any moment. So we need to be ready for the rapture at any moment. But at the same time, realizing the world's not going to, you know, the Lord's not coming back until 7 years after the rapture. And even when the Lord comes back, the world's not ending. We'll have another 1,000 years on the earth with Jesus ruling and reigning. Then the world as we know it will end. Then a new heaven, then a new earth. So these are things to give us hope and to give us comfort. And I want to give you hope and comfort to let you know that before we get into the Great Tribulation, although I do believe we've now officially entered into the time of sorrows, before we get into the time of Jacob's trouble, which is a much greater thing, the worst the world's ever seen, the Lord said, we're going to be out of here. And I want to make one other comment before we move on, Greg. Look at the fear that this brought to the world. The Bible says when the Great Tribulation takes place, men's hearts will be failing them from fear. You think this is scary? This is nothing compared to what's going to happen after the rapture, after Jesus takes the body of Christ, his bride, off the earth. He sweeps us off our feet and takes us up to heaven for the wedding ceremony and the wedding supper of the Lamb. That's when men's hearts are going to really begin to fail them from fear. So this is the beginning of it. We're going to see more and more of this. We need to be prepared. And again, this gives all the more reason. We know what's going to happen as believers. We need to be telling everyone, sharing the gospel. We need to be warning everyone. We need to use this as an opportunity to repent and see revival in the church and God pour a fresh revival in our days.
Yeah. Oh, we are the world, aren't we?
They are.
One world religion news, speaking of all this one world stuff, certain religious leaders believe that the coronavirus outbreak is a sign of the Messiah's return.
Yeah.
And I emphasize the word certain religious leaders.
Yeah, because again, well, you know, it's interesting because again, well, let's just read some of this.
Yeah.
Because it's not truly the evangelical church. We know when Jesus is going to come back, and they're not making reference here, Greg, to the rapture. I don't know that they even believe in the rapture,
know.
At least
no.
this particular no. first one. But notice what it says.
It's
Muslim and Jewish leaders.
Yeah.
From Israel to Iran believe the coronavirus could be a sign the Messiah is coming soon. The Jewish people live. We are waking up, opening our eyes, stopping all our nonsense that we do, and really drawing closer to Shabbat, said Rabbi Shmuel Eliyahu in the YouTube video CBN News reports. And I quote, maybe the Muslims will tell us to build the temple. Many Christians and Jews believe this event will bring the Messiah. I don't think the Muslims are going to be telling them to. I have to disagree. I mean, I don't see that happening without further drastic
things. Not quite
things.
Understanding what's happening.
Something's going to force that. But Greg, here's what's neat. Let's go on, then I'll come back to that. What's needed to me about that. A Muslim Iranian cleric, Ali Reza Banahayan, also believes the worldwide pandemic will bring the Shiite Messiah. See, we have a Messiah. The Jews and Christians have a Messiah we believe in. But the Muslims have a Messiah they believe in, too. They call the Mahdi, or the 12th Imam. And Muslim prophecy predicts he would come during a great upheaval of the earth. Other leaders believe the coronavirus outbreak is God's judgment on the earth in order to bring the wayward back to him. In our days, man thinks he's God, that he is the master and can decide what's good and bad, something which is called moral relativism or postmodernism, said Orthodox Rabbi Shlomo Aviner.
I love that name.
Yes.
Shlomo.
Yeah, yeah.
That's great.
It is. Isn't that great? I mean, just Solomon flows a lot better.
Solomon,
because that's
yes.
what it means.
Oh, is that what it means?
Shlomo,
oh, Shlomo is Solomon.
Solomon.
Why not just say Solomon?
And because Solomon's much more beautiful, but Shlomo
okay.
is...
Okay. All right, never
if
mind.
If this is the case...
We'll stay focused.
That mankind is proud, mankind knows everything, understands everything. Let us see you fight the smallest of God's creations, the coronavirus. So named because of the fatty outer layer that looks like a crown around it under the microscope. Messianic pastors in Israel have also called on followers to pray on Wednesday from 1 to 2 to petition God for protection. And I quote, our prayers are like incense that rises before God, that's true, and beckons him to intervene in what is going on around us, they said in a statement. We believe that during this pandemic, God is calling on mankind to call out to him. So far, over 400 Israelis have been diagnosed with the virus, but there have been no reported deaths. Now, here's what I find interesting, Greg. They're saying they believe the Messiah. The Jews believe he's coming the first time. We believe he's coming back the second time, and it'll be in the rapture. The Muslims, they believe it's a whole different character, and he's never come, and he's the Mahdi, and he's coming. The Messianic leaders, they believe in Jesus, and they believe that he's coming back and the rapture of the church and all that. But here's what's interesting to me. This Jewish leader, the Bible says that Jesus is our Sabbath. He is. He's the picture of the Sabbath. He's our rest. When we give our life to Jesus, we now have rest. Our sins have been forgiven. We've entered into God's rest, that is not by works, but by salvation. But it's interesting the language here, because you see how God has not yet opened their eyes to understand it. But they say that they really believe that this shows a sign that they're drawing closer to the Shabbat, the Sabbath.
Which is Sabbath, yeah.
Which is the coming of the Messiah. So they see the Messiah as their Sabbath fulfilled. Or we know our Messiah already fulfilled the Sabbath, and he is our rest. Isn't that something?
It is interesting.
Very interesting. So again, you see how different people around the world are responding. Whenever there's a worldwide thing like this, people respond that way. I just want to remind our listeners, no, it's not the end of the world. No, it's not time yet. The rapture could happen at any moment, but we're nowhere near Jesus coming back. We're at least 7 years away from that, and that's going to happen after the rapture takes place. But we need to be ready for the return in the rapture. That's what we're watching for.
Well, in the middle of all of this global pandemic is more global hate for the Jews, which is prophecy as well. This first article, Pastor Mark, is dated March 19th from Israel National News, where the Palestinian Authority is comparing Israel to the coronavirus.
Amazing the hatred they have for Israel. Of course, the Palestinian Authority has always hated Israel. And Greg, whenever something goes wrong, who do you blame?
Yeah, you blame the Jew.
Unbelievable. I mean, look, if somebody gets sick in your family, it's the Jew's fault.
You blame the Jew.
There's an earthquake, it's the Jew's fault. Everything. Tell me we're not in a spiritual battle. This is a spiritual battle. It makes zero sense. Let me read some of this. After weeks of silence, the Palestinian Authority finally mentioned Israeli aid. See, Israel's been reaching out, helping them.
Yes.
In their corona stuff. After comparing Israel to all nature's viruses, saying Israel's more dangerous than the viruses. Despite Israel's cooperation with the Palestinian Authority in fighting the coronavirus, the PA has made numerous statements comparing Israel to the deadly virus itself, and for weeks didn't mention Israel's help at all. 2 weeks ago, the PA Prime Minister, Mohammed Shataya, posted a video on his official Facebook page in which he said that the PA was dealing with both the coronavirus and the occupation virus. Similarly, in a video on her official Facebook page, Ramallah governess Leila Ghanam compared life with Israel to life with coronavirus, stating that as the Palestinians manage to live through the infatadas, so it will live through the coronavirus, she said. Coronavirus is not more difficult than the occupation, not more difficult than the siege. Israel also provided the PA with 20 tons of disinfectant material and coronavirus testing kits, and has arranged joint training sessions for Israel and the PA medical personnel. So here's the bottom line. Israel's reaching out and helping their neighbors, and all they're doing is attacking them and calling them the problem. So, whenever you see whatever happens, they blame Israel. Everyone blames Israel. And then even when Israel reaches out and helps, they still get attacked. Again, I want our listeners to remember why. Remember, God has promises yet unfulfilled for the nation of Israel. When the rapture takes place, God is going to fulfill Daniel's 70th week, the final week in the book of Revelation, and from Daniel, that God promised to the nation of Israel, and God will once again pour his spirit out on the nation of Israel and bring them back to Jesus Christ, to bring them back to him in Jesus Christ. Satan hates that. He knows that. That's why he's always attacking the Jews and always attacking Israel. This is a spiritual battle. So understand that. Be praying for the nation of Israel and be praying for their wisdom and for God to continue to get their hearts in the place they're going to be ready to receive the true Messiah when he shows himself to them here very soon as we're having the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then they get to join us as a part of his family as well when they enter the kingdom of God.
Don't know if you want to talk about this. Elaborate on this next article, which is more of anti-Semitism, this last article in the category, Pastor Mark, from worldisraelnews.com, past pandemics have spurred violent anti-Semitism, kind of talking from the historical sense,
yes,
and basically warning to prepare for more, which is what the first article said. So I don't know if there's anything interesting out of this to pull.
Well, so. I think so in this sense. It just shows how radical people can be, not only in blaming the Jews and hating them, but Greg, this article talks about the fact that people killed them throughout history for this. I want to read some of this, a little bit of it. It's worth reading.
Okay.
Actress Rosanna Arquette claims falsely that Israel has been working on a coronavirus vaccine for over a year already, indicating advanced knowledge of the virus and that the Jewish-run company is poised to profit from it. A speaker from the 2016 Republican National Convention, David Clark, blames Jewish-born billionaire George Soros for the virus and associated panic. The head of a Turkish political party declared this virus serves Zionism's goals. according to the Middle East Media Research Institute. If history is a guide, there's no reason to think it shouldn't be. Expect even more of this as the pandemic worsens. That is hatred of the Jews. Listen to this. In a book, 2017 book, Pale Rider, The Spanish Flu of 1918 and How It Changed the World, Laura Spinney reports that in 1919, when an international bureau opened in Vienna with the express mission of fighting epidemics, one of the first things that happened was anti-Semitic elements started lobbying for Jewish refugees to be quarantined in Eastern Europe concentration camps. Get them out of here. And Greg, in 1348 and in 1350 in the Black Death, they blamed Jews. They said the Jews were the problem of it. And they begin to execute Jews. They begin to, again, the same thing that happened with Hitler, you know, taking their homes and their property. They were putting believers to death. In all, 60 large and 150 smaller communities are believed to have been exterminated. And 350 massacres of various dimensions took place, Ziegler writes. It is curious and somewhat humiliating to reflect on the human nature that in Europe, struck by what was probably the greatest natural calamity ever to strike the continent, reacted by seeking to rival the cruelty and nature in the hideousness of his own man-made atrocities. Modern day language, why would you attack the Jews when a plague hits the land? It wasn't the Jews' fault. And you know, again, it doesn't make sense. You're going to see more of this because there is a spiritual hatred and attack on the Jews by Satan himself.
All right, here's an interesting church article from MSN.com, dated March 17th. I love this title. This is not the end of the world, according to Christians who study the end of the world.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
That's an accurate statement.
It is, and we talked about this, but let's recap it here. The world upheaval caused by the fast-spreading novel coronavirus pandemic has many people reaching for their Bibles, and some starting to wonder, could this be the sign of the apocalypse? It sure might feel apocalyptic, but not if you ask Christian writers and pastors who have spent years focusing on their message, or the message of the book of Revelation, the New Testament's final book. It lays out a lurid prophetic vision of the end times, in which many evangelical leaders interpret it to mean that Jesus will return to the earth, and he will. Believers will be raptured to heaven, and they will. And those left behind will suffer dreadful years of calamities, and they will. Most of these Revelation-focused prophesiers don't see coronavirus as heralding the second coming and the end of life on earth as we know it. And I quote, if a person were just completely ignorant of what the Bible says about the end times, they might think this right now, and that is this, that the world's coming to an end. However, again, it talks about these other writers, Greg, you know, who say this isn't going to happen. And Gary Ray, in his opinion, Christians should realize that this is not the end, but again, we're entering that end times process. The same thing I said. And I want to mention one other thing before I give the gospel here, because I want to give you a chance to give your life to the Lord today. Also, at the same time, I want you to be noting the Bible says in the time of sorrows, when it begins, you begin to see famines. We have 10 nations right now that are messing with the, being attacked by locusts over there, that are eating large swaths of the supply of food. So be watching. We'll talk about more of that probably in the future. So I'll be looking for famines in the Middle East. At the same time, the coronavirus around the world and these other things going on. Don't panic. Jesus told us these things would happen. It's the time of sorrows. It's the beginning of the time of sorrows. So what do you do? Believer, you need to repent and draw in and cry out to God to heal our land. And I need to do it too, so we can stop this virus, that the Lord will allow us to. He'll stop it, but us through crying out. But unbeliever, if you're hearing me, listen, Jesus loves you. He died for you, and exactly what he said would happen in the last days is happening. It's time to wake up. Lay down your pride, confess your sin to God, repent of your sin before the Lord, receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, and the Bible says you will inherit eternal life. It's as simple as this. Pray and say, God, forgive me. Step one. Step two, repent of your sin, turn from it. Step three, believe that Jesus died for you and his blood on the cross. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. Believe that he died for you through his blood. Receive him as Lord and Savior. Give your life to him. And no matter what happens, you have a place reserved in heaven. You have your reservations. Listen, the restaurants in America and around the world may have closed, but the wedding table of the Lord and the supper of the Lamb is wide open to all who will make reservations today. Make your reservations. Have your seat at the table, and we will feast together in the kingdom of God. You're invited today by Jesus Christ, and we're honored to be able to bring that invitation to you, but you've got to take action right now, and I encourage you to do that.
Amen. That is a great way to end this show, Pastor Mark, and encourage you listening to if you've got a home church that's got their services online, be a part of that community this weekend. And if you don't have a home church, then be a part of our community this weekend. Amen. Just go to calvaryknoxville.org, and everything will be there for you to participate in our Sunday services. And we hope and pray that you have given your life to Jesus Christ, because the Bible is true. And thank you, folks, for listening to our program. Don't forget our website, thesigns.org. Everything related to our program, you can go there, including asking Pastor Mark a prophecy question. We love you, and we look forward to seeing you back here next Friday at 1:30 for more Signs of the Times, right here on WIAM.